Blog Talk Radio.
The Power to Live Your Vision podcast, brought to you by Zen Mind Body Meditation System. The Zen Mind Body Meditation Program is a revolutionary new training tool designed to help you to tap in to the benefits associated with practicing mindfulness meditation. Learn to improve stress management, self-awareness, and develop the balance you need in your life. www.lp.zenmindbodymeditationformartialartists.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Jesse Bowen, and welcome to another amazing episode of The Power to Live Your Vision. As I was saying a couple of shows ago, that I decided to start this program again because I started back about 15 years ago talking about the power to live your vision, and I had stopped, and probably about 5 or 6 years. And I came back across the site, and I saw that we had over 40,000 plays of old stuff. I'm going, really? I said, well, maybe this is a time that people are ready to hear about the power to live your vision. What does it mean? How will it empower your life? You know, a motivational program and talking with people that are actually living their vision and receiving these amazing blessings. And how do you do it? So if someone had a formula for success, then I want to really know about it. I want to know about it. I want to know how I can put it in my life, why we invent a wheel. If I find that someone has these success things that they have going on, I want to know how they're doing it, because guess what? I want to be successful too. So today, you know, we're really excited about having a guest. Now, most times I do these programs by myself, and we bring in guests, but I have discovered a young man that is very intriguing. I came across his work several months ago. I really liked what he was doing, his ideas, his concepts. And it just so happened the universe, God sort of brought us together this past week. He actually called me, and I'm going, okay, well, you know, okay, I've been seeing what you're doing. I keep my eye on you. So, you know, okay, let's chit-chat. So I actually have him on the call today. I have Dr. John Williams. He is a martial arts champion, an entrepreneur, a faith person, and he has all of these things he's doing. He's probably the only person I've met that's busier than I am. So, you know, we decided to take time off our ADHD work and actually talk about it, you know, share a message to you. So as we go into this call today, if you're happening to listen to our program today, I want you to set your mindset. And your mindset should be is the same thing that I think of this call as that maybe there's a higher power that's bringing you to this message that we're talking about today. And, you know, the higher power I'm calling God that's brought us together. And here you might say, well, Jesse, you're one of those religious guys. I'm one of those faith guys, but I want you to know that what we're talking about today can change your life. Can you be happy? Do you want to be happy? Do you want to be healthy? Then you need to have a healthy mind, and it all sort of starts there. So remember, as you go into this call today, please open your heart, open your mind. You know, just take in what we're saying. We're not charging you for it. Just take a moment and just sort of listen. Hey, sir, how are you doing?
I am doing just outstanding. Hello to everybody that's listening.
Well, we're glad to have you on our call today. And, you know, I sort of, you know, bumped into you through some other things you were doing with some other people last year. And, you know, I said, this is interesting. But as I started to follow you, you know, you do a lot of stuff. So let's introduce you to our audience today. So let's start by telling your name and you know, tell us about, you know, what you're doing, and we'll come back to your background. But just to get people intrigued, you know, I know you have a doctorate degree and you're in the ministry, and like, so you got a whole lot of stuff. Share with us, you know, who you are.
Okay, well, my name is John Williams, or Dr. John Williams, or just John, for whoever wants to know. I come from a family of 14. I'm the baby of 14. Grew up in Blytheville, Arkansas. Found it difficult to read and write sometimes, and I'm loving your title, how you broke that, how you brought us in, because I was like, wow, he's making it easy for me. So, you know, coming from all that, that we weren't supposed to make it, a broken home, all fell 3 times in the 7th grade, and, you know, a lot of alcoholism in the house and constant fighting and all that, belittling you, and you're not going to be nothing. But I thank God that he saw fit to move me around and to keep me out of prison, keep me out of all that negative stuff that was placed in my life. And I'm just proud today to say that I went from a dummy to being a doctor. So that's my main thing. Yeah, you asked about some of the things I have going on. We do beauty pageants and martial arts and just whatever God gives me. We feed the homeless, check on the shut-in. Whatever God gives us, that's what we do. We want to be better in this world.
Well, you know, that's a really key point. That's where it really has to start. I want to be better. I deserve to have a better life. You know, I am more than what you see. I am more than my family history. I am more than that. And, you know, and you can find that a lot of very successful people are people that escape the mindset or that stigma that, you know, this is your father, this is your mother, you know, this is what they've done, and this is what you're going to do too. So the power to live your vision is for you to get a grip of what your vision is. You know, you may not know what that vision is, and it doesn't matter as long as you know you want better than what you actually have. You know, it doesn't have to be what mama did, daddy did. It's me. I'm an individual. I'm born, and I tell people all the time, in between being born and dying is just living. And as humans, you have that opportunity. You have the power of choice. My cow may not have the power of choice, but as a human being, you know, you actually have the power of choice. And when you can have the power of choice, then you can actually make decisions on what you actually do. So let's go into now. You know, you had this experience, you grew up, and this is what makes stories. You know, you failed these, what was it, 7th grade, 3 times. You know, you probably put on that list of people that would never make it, and now you have a doctorate degree, and, you know, you got Thomas Edison, so many people that have had that story, but have been so powerful in our history. You know, I remember, I guess it was the 10th grade or something like that. I was taking one of these economic classes, and I got into writing a business plan, and that was really motivational to me. I wrote the business plan, and the teacher called me to the front of the classroom. She said, "Jesse, did you write this?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." And I was standing there waiting to be patted on my head for doing such a great job. She tore it up in the front of the class and told me I didn't write it.
Oh,
but
wow.
If I could dig her up today, but that experience gave me the incentive to change my life. So that's a part of my story, and I know that you've got a lot of things that you're actually doing. So when did you realize that you had the power to make the difference in your life?
Well, like you said, I am glad you hit on that one. You made a one statement. You said it's a mindset. If you hang around people that's with the negative mindset, eventually that's going to rub off on you. The people that I grew up with in my hometown, a lot of them were funny in school and all that, and that's what, you know, I wanted to be funny, but we weren't getting any work done. We were laughing at the ones that were supposed to be the, you know, school brains or whatever. But what got me is I saw the road that I was on, but it's like, God didn't want me. He would not let me get in trouble. Listen, I'm no different than anyone else. I should have been under jail, in jail, and everything else, like all my friends. I was just one that didn't get caught. No, I didn't shoot or kill anybody, but, you know, doing the same thing some of my friends were doing, but I just happened to not be there when the police came, or happened to not, you know what I'm saying? I was just moved around and very troubled because a step family came into the house, and I felt I was being shunned away. Got put out of the house at 12 years old. Didn't have really nowhere to go. Came back home again, and it just got worse and worse. So my brother, may he rest in peace, Charlie Robinson, he saw something in me. He saw something in me. He would always encourage me. Stop doing what you're doing. You're going to be in jail like they're saying you're going to be. You know, you're constantly told, oh, he'll be in jail in 6 months and all. But he always told, he saw something in me. And so he saw me going down the wrong road. I know I would be dead or in jail if it wasn't for God allowing him to intervene in my life. And everybody have that person that will do that if you allow them. But he took me away, and I moved to Clovis, New Mexico, with his ex-wife, Etta Robinson, at the time. And she had four children already, and she was a single mom. She took me in as if I was her, as they were, even though they were my nieces and nephews. But when I'm coming in, when you go into a situation, you have a choice. When I went into their home, I had F's and D's and didn't know what a C was. Well, all of her family, her children were, two of them were in college, and they were like on the honor roll. And here I come into the house, and the other two that's in the house, they're on the honor roll and straight A's and B's and maybe one or two C's. And I could either continue to live the way I was thinking or bring that Arkansas thinking into my head, into their home, or I could take the fresh start, which I was given. So I chose to take the fresh start because I had people now encouraging me, you can do it. That woman encouraged me. She wow, I everything I do, I always recognize her. She instilled in us that we can be and do anything. I watched this woman with four children, a single mom, and took me in. We were all teenagers. So it's rough enough raising one or two teenagers, but when you have four of them, and then you bring a fifth one in, and it was just a blessing. I saw my grades. I made my first A on my own in a class. Then from then on, I didn't want to make below a C. I didn't want to make a, if I made a D, I was scratching my head like, man, how did I, it felt like I was letting somebody down that gave me another chance. And that's when I talk about the dummy to doctor, because many didn't know that I was illiterate all the way up to the age of 23. So if I made a, seriously, if I made a D, I was that was my A. And that's what we got to understand sometimes. sometimes is their A, because that's the best they can do. And I was giving it my all. And one thing I found out that you have to give it your all to accomplish what you want to accomplish. Then I began to hang around people that were really trying to go somewhere now and had visions and things they wanted to accomplish. And I knew I always say, well, I'll never go in the military and I'll never do this. And I wanted to. But the thing is, when you suffer or you have illiterate or when you're illiterate, you that test, that ASVAB test, that's your mountain now. And you're not seeing what you can do in the military. You're saying, I can't pass this test. I have to get past this ASVAB entry test. And that was my whole thing. And many didn't even know. I couldn't hardly read and write. So when I went in to take the test, on fast forwarding, when I went in, I did graduate. When I went in to take the test for the military, I just put down probably 85% C and probably put a couple of D's and A's in there. But everybody always told me, just put all C's and you're going to pass or, you know, come close to it. And that's what I did. And so I made a 18 on the test. And anybody in the military know that you have scored 21 at least. And I didn't score that, and they just called me back, oh, John, you didn't score high enough. I said, okay. So then they came out with this thing called Category 4. Category 4 allows you to accept anybody in pretty much into the military. I went into the military on a Category 4, which is the lowest you can go in for anybody. And your choices are cook or mechanic. And since my dad was a mechanic, I said, oh, I'll do mechanic. So I was always the low guy on the scoring of the tests and everything, but anything hands-on, I was extremely good at. So I was partnering up with people that was good test takers. But when it came to the hands-on, everybody wanted to partner up with me. Fast forward, I got in the military, was doing good. I made E5 in 3 years. I made E6 in 5 years. And I was on the E7 list in 8.5 years. My goal when I got in the military was to make Sergeant Major in 15 years. I always wanted to do better than I did, you know, prior to. So God, when I prayed and asked God, I said, God, I need help. I need help. I can't read, and I have to write people reports up and grade them. How can I write their stuff and I can't read? See, because we didn't have the computers with the self-check back then. We had those typewriters that you had to type and then use the whiteout when you make a mistake. But many didn't know that I carried around a pocket dictionary for my first 5 years of military. If it was a, say if I needed to spell mindset, you wouldn't see me, but I'll pull my drawer open and I'm going through mindset. I'm looking in my little pocket dictionary for words. And if you wrote a report, I would, when you weren't around or whatever, I would copy your report and then I'll have a copy of, oh, I can just put your words and just change one or two and change the name. And they was thinking I was going, this is something that needs to be said, because this is called bluffing it. Bluffing it means that you're not really who you say you are, and you'll develop a technique as when you're illiterate. You'll develop a technique. Hey, John, read this. I'll read some words that I know in the first part, words that I know in the middle part, and words that I know in the ending. So if you say you couldn't have read that fast, well, ask me. Yeah, it said Janet ran up the street. Then when she went up the street, she met Tom, and at the bottom they went off and drove in his car or whatever. You know, you get the gist of what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That is how I got through most of my life until I asked God to teach me. Lord, you said you can teach me. And I tell you what, when I took what they call the TABE test, the first time I took it, I had a third grade reading. average. After I prayed and I just started listening to people like Rush Limbaugh's show, I loved his he always, to me, spoke what I call outstanding English. I would pick up words from him, and if he said a word I didn't know, I would get the dictionary and look it up. So my vocabulary started increasing. A year and a half after I had prayed so much, I think God got tired of me asking him to teach me. Can he help me learn how to read? I went back. I remember I had the day before I had to take the test, I went into prayer and I said, God, you said if we ask you for anything, you would do it. That's the way I talked to him at that time. I went to take the test the next day. I didn't have much faith because I didn't really know what faith was. I just know they said you're supposed to have it, you know. So I was jumping on the bandwagon. I got faith, whatever that's supposed to be. But long story short, I went in to take that test. When I went to go take that test that second time, I scored a 13.5, meaning I was on college level reading. And from then, you couldn't tell me anything, because that's when I started taking all these other classes. So that's my story of all the degrees and all the, well, I have about 13 degrees, but it's because once it got in me, once I learned and I started seeing visions, and I didn't want anybody else to have to go through what I went through. And that's why now I try to push education and everything now, so that a person, anything that I do, any job, always ask, what's the next level, so that I can go to that next level.
Right. Well, that is called a power to live your vision. When we talk about, you know, faith, what is faith? Faith is belief, desire, and expectation. And guess what? Faith works in everything. You know, it works in not just spirituality, but it works in everything. So let's take a few moments to talk about your martial arts. I know you just won an event, and I know you were telling me that you're thinking about retiring. So let's talk about that event, about your martial arts. When did you get involved in the martial arts?
Okay, like many people, I was one that, you know, people may not know that I was bullied too. So I was bullied as well. Like people, like a lot of people may not know, that's where a lot of people, that's why a lot of people choose to take martial arts. I was bullied, but, you know, I played football, so I think I was kind of built kind of, you know, like a football player, running back. So that may have scared a few people off, but my brother, Jesse Williams, he's a grandmaster, Jesse Williams. He owns the Fighting Tiger School, and I tried to learn under him, and I didn't understand the difference between the sports karate and fighting school, and it was a huge difference. It was a huge adjustment, and he did Shotokan, so I started taking Shotokan, ended up getting my second dan in Shotokan, but he was more into the fighting part, so I learned my fighting there. Then I went over to Tiger Rock Martial Arts under Master Aaron Tuck, and that school, that's where I learned all my kata and perfection, and really learned about martial arts, because it was just something that was dear to me. And once I started doing it, once again, I wanted to be better. So I joined the MMASC, which is the Midwest Conference, and under the leadership of Supreme Grandmaster Richard Osborne. And let me tell you, for 6 years straight, I won the national championship, and I was always chasing the Triple Crown. I won that three times. The Triple Crown trophy is when you fight three different divisions and you have to win first place overall at the end of the year in three different divisions. So for the last 3 years, I won the Triple Crown, and this year I said, you know, I'm going to go for King. And he encouraged me to go for King. Now, people say, well, you know, I'm a 19 and or I'm a lightweight and I'm going to no, when you go for the Triple Crown, that's why I said I'll probably, I mean, for the King of the MMASC, you have to do a lot of fighting, and it doesn't matter if it's a grandmaster or first degree or whatever stand in front of you. That's what you have to fight and win if you want it. And that was something that I went for. Sometimes I had to fight seven times a tournament in one tournament. Sometimes you get lucky and fight three. You were gonna if you want title, you had to fight the best of the best. And some people say, well, you know, some of those people are washed up and, you know, but look, you can't take away. You didn't choose the people. Whoever stood in front of you, whoever they put in front of you, that's who you had to go through. It doesn't matter how long ago they were a champion, or they may have been champion last year, but it was such a blessing for me, someone who didn't have a lot of confidence in there. I had a confidence in my fighting ability, but I always look at another person and say, wow, I wish I was like him or her, you know? And this year, I won three categories to win the Triple Crown once again, and as well as I'm the points champion. I won the points championship, as well as was put into the Hall of Fame, and I won the King, co-king of the MMASC 20. So I said, if I've done all that, it was time for me to go ahead and step down at 54 years old with a record of 76-6. I thought I had did pretty good. So I called it,
yeah,
I'll still teach. I don't like to lose because people, they just expect me to win. So I guess that's a lot of pressure on you. But now when I get in the ring, I don't feel I have anything to prove. I can get out there and really have fun and enjoy myself now. I'm not going for any more titles or anything like that. I'm in the history books, and that is important to me because I want to leave something for my grandbabies to look back on.
Right. Well, let's take a few minutes to go ahead and come to the end of our program. So what are you into now? What's going on that you want to share with our listeners?
Well, since then, during all this other fighting that I was talking about, I'm actually releasing my documentary, Dr. John Williams and Elite Life. We are wrapping up the filming on that next month. We'll be wrapping up the filming on that next month, as well as to wrap it up, I got a call from my hometown, and they're going to actually give me a key to the city in my hometown of Blytheville, Arkansas, and I am excited about that, as well as they are working on giving me a key to the city here in Colorado, and I'm blessed to do that. I have been in contact with Grandmaster Robbie Lee, and in May, we are going to start on the remake of the movie Billy Jack. I have a part in there. I think I'm one of the generals or whatever. But I told him I'd be a janitor, just cast me in it. And as well as I have a book in the making that we're doing that's going to go with the movie, the documentary movie, which will be on Netflix and all that, Dr. Williams, Dr. John, and Elite Life. But the book will be called From Dummy to Doctor, letting people know that it's okay to fail. It's okay to fail. You just have to keep going. You have to get up, dust yourself off, and keep going. And I'm hoping to collaborate with you on my book, John Williams, More Than a Martial Artist, because we do more than a martial artist does. So we do what a martial artist should be doing. We feed the homeless. We just, one thing that I'm proud of, we just fed over 1,000 first responders I talked to the community. We donated over $700 worth of snacks to the police, firemen, ambulance drivers. So that was pretty huge for us. And as well as this year alone, we fed over 1,700 homeless people. It was that's my heart. I just graduated, as you said, with my fourth doctorate degree. I had graduated with my double doctorate in Doctor of Christian Counseling and Communication, as well as a doctorate in Humanity from the Fresh Anointing Christian Bible Institute out of Virginia. So, yes, filming, going to school, doing it all, being a husband, being a father, yes. So running a karate school, a martial arts school. So, yeah, I think I was busy this year. So it was a blessing. And to top all of that off, 2 days ago, many don't know, but if they look at my Facebook page, I couldn't announce it till yesterday. We just got approved for Coin Academy, Coin Community Academy, which is our school. And if you give me just a second to talk about that, I'm so excited, because as I spoke about my life of, you know, I love to do humanitarian work, and I see a lot of people that's over the age of 50 and 60 that may not have had that opportunity to go out and get their maybe they had to take care of their family or whatever when they couldn't finish high school. But this is a program that it is accredited that we've been working on for 2 years to get that high school diploma to those people that desire to have their high school diploma. You want to go back and get your degree, like associate through doctorate. We also have that set up. And like I say, Coin Academy is Come On In. So if anybody wants information, they can go to comeonin.org. That is our website. They'll see who I am, what we've done. We do work all over in Africa, India. We are all over the place. So, yes, sir.
Well, sir, we definitely appreciate, you know, you coming on our program. Again, you know, you're doing a lot of powerful things out there. And you are a prime example of what we call the power to live your vision. So when you can have a dream, then you can actually move forward. Because vision doesn't just necessarily go into what you see, but to be a visionary, you have to be able to see what's in front of you. And then you have to have the faith and the ability to take action to be able to walk through it. So if anyone out there, if you have a dream or if you have a vision, don't let your past define your future. Don't let who your family is define who you are as that person. As I tell my wife all the time, you know, you want to know how you're doing, check your five closest friends. If you want to be elite, then you must move up to elite people that are going your way, because it's easy to be pulled down. And one thing in my closing, I want to say is that, you know, I appreciate, you know, your confidence in sharing your story, because that's a key point that a lot of people have to realize. You know, don't look at people regardless of their color or their religion. You know, if you feel that you've got a better life and you can help that person and you want to be a humanitarian, then what you want to do is see that way that person is living. What can I do to help you? What can I say to you that will now influence you and make you better? If it's not that, you know, listen here, you just did a great job on that. Man, I'm very proud. Just the smallest thing can influence someone's life. So you have to make a decision. Do I want to be an influencer, or do I want to be on the destruction crew? If we got so many people to tear stuff down, you don't have to be a rocket scientist.
but to be able to build a mix for a strong foundation that can support people, then that's something totally different than you. And plus, you need to be able to be, because everybody, we all have a purpose. That's why this call today,
yes,
this call has a purpose. And as I started off, I'm hoping that as you hear this call, don't look at this call as, man, this is just one of them poor folks' call. No, this is something about rags to riches. No matter where you are, you know, whether it's education or whatever, you can overcome it too. So that's what this program is about today.
Yes.
Well, sir, I thank you for being on our program, The Power to Live Your Vision. Everyone, you know, go to his website, check out what they're doing. If you're looking for a second chance at life, then, you know, he's an expert. And, hey, sir, listen, I definitely would love to have the opportunity to publish your book for you. So, you know, let's keep everything moving forward. And we realize that the law of attraction simply says, whatever you think about most is what you draw into your life. We are human beings. We are people of free will. We make a decision of what we bring into our lives. Everyone, this is Jesse Bowen saying to you, be blessed and check out my next show.